Welcome to the Watershed Teaching Podcast. Watershed is the high school ministry of Perimeter Church in Johns Creek, Georgia. Perimeter Church is part of the Presbyterian Church in America. Watershed is a place where we hope high school students would connect, receive, and transform. We want to see students connect with God and others through healthy community, receive His truth through gospel-centered, grace-based teaching, and be transformed by the gospel to then go transform their world. Thank you for downloading this podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.perimeter.org/watershed.
Hey, my name is Emilio, and I'm on staff here at Watershed, and I have the privilege of speaking to y'all tonight. So let me just start by saying this. What I'm about to share, I kind of talked about last year, so I'm not going to go into a ton of detail, but I'll let you guys know this. When I was in eighth grade, I started smoking weed. But here's the thing. What I'm about to tell y'all, it really has nothing to do with me. I'm not going to talk about myself that much. But here's what I learned and what I've kind of realized over these years as I think back to when I was in eighth grade is that I was so hurt. I was so broken that instead of looking for help, I looked for people to bring me to bring down with me. If you can imagine, I try to find people who would drown with me. And when I was in eighth grade, that person was my little brother, Michael. And I'll never forget this. I was in eighth grade, and I was on the back porch of my house. My parents weren't home, and me and my buddy Tim were smoking and smoking weed in the back. And my little brother comes out. He's a little sixth grader at the time. They called him Chubby Checkers. And he comes out just innocently enough to see what we were doing. And to the best of my knowledge, he didn't know that I was smoking weed. And he didn't know that I was doing all these things that my parents wouldn't be too proud of. And he walked outside, and my heart just dropped because all of a sudden I was like, he's going to rat me out. He's going to tell mom and dad. So because I didn't want to drown by myself, I started asking my little brother. I said, hey, Michael, man, smoke weed with us. He said, no, I don't want to. And so it went from me questioning, asking him, to me picking on him and making fun of him until finally he had just been belittled enough where he said yes. And so there's my brother, 11 years old, smoking weed. And what happened after that was it led to this life of destruction for him, because for Michael, it didn't stop at weed. It started there, then it kept going to cocaine and other drugs. And really, it's only been in the last few years where he's been able to stop doing that. And here's the scary thing. When I think back about that time with my brother, or I think about that silly clip that we saw about from Full House, is that peer pressure today looks completely different. It's not the same. In fact, you can't even call it peer pressure anymore. You have to call it world pressure. Because when I was in high school and middle school, people would come up to me and ask, Amelia, do you want to smoke? Do you want to drink? Today, you guys have walked into your schools and it's already expected that you're doing those things. You walk into high school and you're expected to already be a part of the party scene and be okay with it. Or you walk into a party and the expectation is that you're going to drink. Nobody asks you if you want one. They ask you, how many do you want? Or for some of you, you walk into a relationship with a boy or a girl and the expectation is already there to have sex with them. That's your world today. You wake up every morning, and probably one of the first things you do is you pull out your cell phone and you go on social media, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, whatever, and you guys are just hit with what the world tells you you're supposed to be like, look like, act like. That's your world today. Hey, Rip, why don't you go ahead and come on stage? He's going to help me out with this. Because here's the arrogance of man. Here's what we do. We see these situations, these expectations, and we think it's okay. You think you're fine because, you know, for a lot of us, we have our faith. We have our faith, And we think that's going to be okay. That's going to be okay for us to stand on. But let me ask you this question. How close are you really to God? How much time are you spending with him? Or you've got values over there. These good old family like values that your parents have told you about since you were, you know, my kid's age, since you were two. This is what you're going to be about. Here's what's okay. Here's what's not okay. You have those values that you stand on. Or grace. It's one of my favorite ones. As Christians, we know grace. But the truth is we're much better at abusing it than really understanding it. Or friends. You've got your friends who, for a lot of you, you've known since you were 5, 6 years old. Some of you have probably been in discipleship groups with the same people your entire life. But one day, what happens if your friends start smoking, drinking, sleeping around? Then what? Then what happens? And then what happens when you start compromising a little bit of these things? What happens when you go to that party and you're offered that drink and all of a sudden you start thinking to yourself, you know what? I know what I'm about. I know my values, but one drink, that's fine. That's fine. I can have one. I'll be okay, right? Don't fall. It'll ruin the whole talk. Or what happens when you guys forget, you compromise your faith, you compromise that trust in God, and you start looking at yourself in the mirror, and then you start looking at these images that the world tells you you're supposed to look like, and you say, you know what, I know that I was created beautifully and uniquely by God, but you know what, that's not good enough. And so you compromise your faith a little bit. Or what happens when you start dating that boy and that girl and you start sleeping with them, compromising grace because you know that God forgives you. So you compromise your grace. You're good. You start compromising these things, and here's the truth. Life becomes a lot harder to stand on. You see, you go to that party and you have that one drink, and that one drink turns into a second drink, into a third drink, and then you start living that lifestyle similarly to my brother, and just leads to this life of destruction. Before you know it, you're drinking by yourself at home as a teenager. Or you see your image and you think, you know, if I skip one meal, it'll be okay. And then you skip two meals and three meals, and then you have this full-on just eating disorder that's just tearing you up literally from the inside out. Or you start sleeping with your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You start sending them those pictures that they've been asking for, and all of a sudden you realize they never loved you. Then what? You're standing on these things, and just like Rip here, it leaves you in this life unbalanced, and we're so arrogant to think that we can do it on our own. You think, I can still be that same person who's strong in my values and my faith, that I can compromise a little bit and I can be okay. But here's what Proverbs 14:12 says. It says, there's a way that seems right to a man. And that way is the way that the world is telling you to live. It's telling you it's okay to do these things. It's okay to sleep around. It's okay to get drunk on the weekends. There's a way that seems right to a man. But in the end, it leads to death. And if you decide to live this life, I promise you that's the way it's going to end for you too. It'll lead to death. We live in a broken world, and we're not meant to stand on a platform like that. So luckily we have things that we can stand on. You got things like Jesus, who I remember is there for me. I think about that picture of Peter when he steps off the boat. He starts walking and he takes a few steps and he feels the pressure of the world and he starts to drown. And then clearly it says that he cries out for help and then Jesus is there to lift him up. I remember Jesus being tempted in the wilderness and Satan just telling him all these things that would make life better. And Jesus saying, no, I promise you that same Jesus who's in the wilderness is here with you today, wanting, desiring to help you to say no to those same temptations. But like Peter was, you have to have a close relationship with Jesus for that to work. See, Peter knew Jesus in a very beautiful way. And you can too, but you have to spend time in the Word. You've got to spend time in prayer. Go to church. Be with him. Get to know him. Let him get to know you. Because on those days when you start to drown, he will be right there to lift you up. One of the other things that we can stand on is accountability. And I say that, and I know this. That is one of the ugliest words in the world. And here's why. You hear accountability, and immediately your mind makes you think that I'm talking about pointing out your sin. I'm pointing out everything that's wrong with you, but that's not what accountability is. Accountability is not pointing out what's wrong with you. It's pointing your brother and your sister to Christ. Accountability is encouraging your brother, standing beside him, loving him in such a way that he knows that you are there with them, in such a way that you are allowed to ask those tough questions and know that you're going to get an honest response because you love your brother, because you want to hold them accountable. And then there's community. Community like what we're striving to have in our discipleship groups here at Perimeter, at Watershed. Community like what we're striving to have right here in Watershed. A community of people like-minded who aren't willing to compromise who they are, who aren't willing to let the world tell them what they're supposed to be like. We're called to this type of community. We are called to be a part of something that's bigger than anything the world could tell you is okay. Appreciate it, Rip. It'd be hilarious if that's when you fell.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I love what it says in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. It says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." It had been founded on Jesus. You stand on those things, you're not going to fall. You're not going to drown. But if you decide to live life on your own, if you decide to live your life willing to compromise a little bit, this is what happens. It says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house. And it fell and great was the fall of it." Like it says in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. But don't lose sight of this truth. The truth that Jesus died and conquered death. And he conquered the pressures of this world so that you could truly have something that you can stand on. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. And Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for community. Thank you so much for accountability, for encouragement. Thank you so much for my brothers, for my sisters. Father, I pray that you would be with them as we walk out these doors, that you would bless their time in discipleship, that you would just bless their time when they go to their school tomorrow, their communities tomorrow, their teams tomorrow. Lord, I pray that they'd be living for you and not for this world. Father, I love you and pray this in your name. Amen.